Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influencers Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influencers.church. And now for our message.
Good morning, everybody, at all the campuses in Australia today. Great to have you at Mount Barker. Congratulations, Pastor David and Jess, on the birth of your little boy, Billy. I just pray he's another Billy Graham. You know, all the people that are watching today at City Campus, in our South Campus, in our Clare Valley Campus, in our Salisbury Campus, and in our Paradise Campus, it's the beginning of Vision Month. You know, God's doing great things. It's so wonderful to hear the reports. Wish I could be there in person, and will be in a couple of months, but to hear what God's doing. Keep praying for the five campuses in Atlanta where there's still lockdowns and there's a hybrid system of coming back and there's interruptions everywhere and elections going on. And so far, I think 350,000 people just in Atlanta have been infected with COVID-19. And then compare that to how Victoria's gone and you'll get an idea of what's happening. So keep praying. But this is a great month to begin to prepare for 2021, and I'm excited to come and share with you today's message as we launch this incredible month. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your presence. We ask you that as we share your word and declare what you want us to prepare for, that our hearts would be enlightened, our hearts would be excited, and we would see as we look forward a future full of anticipation and excitement and potential. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week, Pastor Jane and I took all of our family to Las Vegas. Why Las Vegas? Well, because you can't go anywhere else, pretty much. And Nathan and Mark have their passports have now expired, so we couldn't leave the country. But it was Nathan's 30th birthday. And so we took all the family, all the grandkids, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful time. We had an amazing time of exploring and playing golf and eating well and staying together and having lots of fun together. It was a great time. And then on Saturday, we began the process of flying back. Now, when you fly in America, it's masks all the way from one end. 4 hours later, you get off the plane. And in Nevada, where we were, it's masks outdoors, masks everywhere. You had to wear a mask every place that you went, all the time. It was exciting. And so then as we started to make our way back, we started to get prepared. And the day before we went to get on the plane, Pastor Jane went out hiking with Nathan and Chloe and Benjamin in the Valley of Fire. Beautiful place with incredible rock formations, but she slipped and she twisted her ankle. So when they came back, she was in a wheelchair. So here we are on the last night before we're about to leave, and she's in a wheelchair, so she can't pack anything. I've got to do all the packing for her as well. It's late into the night, early in the morning, and then I start to put together a list of all the things we've got to do. Anyway, we get up in the morning, and we're, you know, rushing. I've got to take the wheelchair back to reception. I've got to go get her a latte, an almond latte. I've got to go and get our bags to the cars. We have two cars. We have three grandkids, a pregnant daughter-in-law, and it's all happening. Then we get in the cars, and we take off, and we head to the airport, which only is a few minutes away from the hotel. And so, you know, we arrive first, and so now we're getting, I have to run into the airport, get the wheelchair for Pastor Jane. I have to get all the luggage onto trolleys. I have to get it all ready. And then we get stuck in traffic because the corrections department are moving a prisoner and they've closed off half the road. So instead of taking a few minutes, it takes a whole lot longer to get to the airport. So here we are trying to get all the kids, trying to herd the cats, trying to get everybody on the plane. Couldn't pull up in front of where we're supposed to pull up. So we had to pull up somewhere back, push all the way. Then Nathan and I get in the hire cars. We had rental cars. And so we drove to the rental car center, which was 2 miles away or 3.5 kilometers away from the airport. So Nathan presses He uses Google Maps, and of course he should use Waze, and so if he'd used Waze, he'd been okay. But then he selected the rental car center in the city. So I go off to the rental car center to drop off our rental car, and he goes off to the city. So we get separated, he gets lost, then we're running behind. And all the while, time is counting down. And I'm racing, get in the garage. I'm trying to calm down, trying to focus, trying to be, have it together and plan it all. But I missed the entrance to the particular rental car where I had to return the car. So I had to go all the way around, come back in. So I want to tell you what happened. But anyway, I get out of the car, and now I'm racing. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but I made a split-second decision under pressure. Instead of putting the largest suitcase on the bottom of the trolley, I put the medium-sized one and stacked everything up and put my golf clubs on top. Well, guess what? It fell off. Every time I'd move, it fell off probably three times. All my golf balls went flying everywhere. Finally, getting to the elevator, I go downstairs. Nathan finally found his way back, but we have to go to different rental cars because we had got them from different places because they were cheaper. And now I'm running through the rental car center, which is huge, and I find Avis and I drop off the car, and I say, now where's my lift to the airport? And she says, what do you mean? I said, well, I booked in a lift that you would take me to the airport. She says, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. COVID-19 has shut down that service. I'm like, what? So now I'm running outside. There's only buses. Then I find a taxi. Now I can't find Nathan. And finally we get to the airport and we miss the plane. Can you believe it? We miss the plane. The others have all gone. Jane in the wheelchair and Mark and Lauren and Chloe and the kids, they've all gone. And Nathan and I have to wait now for hours and hours to catch the next plane. Whew, I'm tired just even talking about that experience. And as I was sitting in the lounge for hours and hours waiting for the next plane with my mask on, I started thinking about what happened. How did we miss the plane? And then I started to think about all the things that I had done that morning and all the things I'd said yes to that I should have said no to. All the things that I should have said, no, I'm not doing that, but I said yes to. I should have said no to getting Pastor Jane a coffee, right? I should have. That added 30 minutes to our preparation time. I should have said yes to checking in on the plane the night before. If only I'd said no to Pastor Jane going on that hike, she wouldn't have been in a wheelchair. If only I had said no to myself and not stacked the smallest suitcase on the bottom of the trolley, maybe it wouldn't have all fallen off all the time and we would have made it. If only I'd listened to the little voice in my head that said, you're not booked in to get a lift back to the airport, even though you think you are, go call them. If only I'd listened to those voices. You know, you can miss the bus, in my case, miss the plane, when you don't know when to say yes and when to say no. There are lots of things I should have said no to that day that I said yes to, and in saying yes to them, it caused us to miss our destination. And I want to talk to you in this season as we look forward to the future, to 2021. 2020 is a write-off. We'll always know when we've got a bad day, it's just gone 2020. You know, we can always use that phrase because it refers to everything tragic and bad in our life. But as we look forward to 2021, what's God trying to do? What's God trying to say to us? What do we need to know? You know, sometimes when we're focused on too many things, it's a surefire way to have less results. Sometimes you're able to say yes to the best when you say no to the rest. You'll get more if you focus on less. If you do it right, less will produce more. Less distractions will produce more results. Less stress will produce more success. And so I want to talk to you about what I believe God's saying for 2021. It's simply this word, simplify. There's one thing that I believe God wants you to do is to simplify your life. Simplify is the word, because in order to multiply, you need to simplify. In order to amplify your life and its message and its impact, you have to simplify. You know, if you want to see more of God's supply, in your life you need to simplify. I remember a great leader one day saying to me many years ago when I was early in ministry, he said, "Ashley, it won't be what you say yes to that makes you a success." He says, "It's going to be what you say no to that makes you a success." It's always stuck with me. I haven't always followed it, unfortunately. But it's the truth. What I say no to is as important as what I say yes to. What we say yes to will determine what we say no to. And, you know, you think about Jesus. He said no to 50 other candidates for discipleship in order to say yes to Peter, James, and John, and the other 12 apostles. Sometimes you have to choose less to gain more. And as we move into springtime and we're pushing through springtime, it's a great time to do the spring clean of our own lives. It's time to get ready. And it's time to get ready for more by chucking out the junk that's creating a collection in our lives that's not helpful to us. That's why we do a spring clean, so we can have a brand new look at what's coming. You know, John the Baptist said it this way. It said of John the Baptist in John 3:30, it says, "He must increase and I must decrease." John was uttering a powerful statement about the fact that Jesus could never be the great Messiah and the power if the focus was on John the Baptist. And John the Baptist recognized, I've got to simplify, I've got to decrease, so that Jesus can increase. John understood the idea that less of him meant more of Jesus. And if you're watching today from our city campus, God wants to speak to you about your life. Simplify so you can multiply. Simplify so you can amplify. If you're watching from our South campus or our Mount Barker campus, and congratulations to David and Jess on the birth of their little boy, Billy. What an amazing little champion has just entered the world. If you're watching from Clare Valley or from Paradise, God's trying to speak to you today in this Vision Month about preparing for 2021. And the answer is to simplify. How do you multiply? How do you see God use you in a powerful way? It's to simplify. You're going to hear more about this over the weeks to come. And so how do we simplify? Because often we're given the motivation without the instruction. And I want to share with you what I believe is the most powerful tool that you'll ever learn, grab hold of, and use that will help you simplify your life. And like a baby going through the birthing canal has to go into a narrow space in order to experience the wonder of a new world, so you and I have to go into a place where we simplify, when the focus is only one or two things, so we can do what God's called us to do. You know, it's interesting to me and significant that Jesus and the Apostle Paul, that if you study their lives, you'll find that before they had success, they had to shed excess. They had to shed the excess of their life in order to find the success purpose that God had for them. In order to amplify their lives and impact, they had to simplify. In order to intensify, they had to modify. And I want to talk to you today about the first step. And as we go over this whole month, you're going to be seeing vision and stuff that we're going to be doing in the community. But I want you to get this principle, because at the end of this month, over times that will be outlined, that will be on Church Center app, there will be devotions, all kinds of things will be there. We're going to go into a time of prayer and fasting. And I want you to listen real carefully, because I've got some great thoughts to share with you. Because nothing sheds the excess, not only weight excess, but every excess, than prayer and fasting. It's a step that guarantees results. It purifies, it simplifies, it amplifies, it multiplies. And prayer and fasting is the great secret weapon that Jesus used, the apostles used, Paul used, in order to prepare themselves for what God had in their lives. Of all the things that you could do, prayer and fasting is the greatest way to focus, to laser in on clarifying what God has for your life. Getting rid of all the other focuses in order to focus on Jesus, in order to focus on Him. Letting go of my reliance on the natural, of filling my life with stuff and instead focusing on Jesus. I'm going to show you how to get the maximum impact out of your fasting and prayer, because the truth is, I've tried every fast there is. I've tried to fast television. I've tried to fast chocolate. I've tried to do the so-called Daniel fast. I've done them all, and I've done water fast. I'm going to talk to you about God's prescription to simplify your life in order to produce more, to multiply more, to see more of God's supply come into your life. And I believe this is key for all of us as a church body. God is talking to us. As I was speaking to Pastor Josh this week, he was talking to me about how many of our campus pastors have felt this urge to fast and pray, felt this desire that it's time to converge, to kind of throw off the other focuses and zero in on the thing that's most important. Why? Because as we simplify, God will clarify, He will modify, He will multiply, and He will intensify your life. And so I believe that first step is about fasting and prayer. Now here's a question for you as we get started. Have you ever thought to yourself, why did Jesus have to fast? I mean, He's the Son of God. He is perfect in every way. Why did Jesus have to fast? Because as you read the New Testament, there are about three or four times where you read about fasting, and the question is, why did Jesus have to go on a 40-day fast? Now, there are many reasons, and we don't have time to go through all those reasons today, but let me just say this. Simply, He had to simplify in order to progress to the next place where God was going to deliver into His hands the great gifts and the power of God that God had ordained for His Son. But He had to shed the excess, focus, simplify, go through a process in order to multiply. Simplify to multiply. Simplify to modify, to amplify. That's what God wants for your life. And so if Jesus had to do it, guess what? You have to do it. Now here's the difference. Often we go into fasting and prayer and we do it from a religious perspective. Well, it's the beginning of the year. Let's have 21 days of prayer and fasting. And that's okay. That's good self-discipline. But when the Holy Spirit leads you into a fast, like I believe He's leading us as a congregation right now, just as He led Jesus to go into the wilderness and fast and pray so that He could give to Him the things that He would need to perform the miracles and fulfill His mission here on earth, so you and I need to go into a season of simplifying, focusing, and having a laser focus on God, on just prayer and fasting so that God can do in our lives. And I want to explain to you what happens. You know, we've been made in God's image, and therefore God's made us body, soul, and spirit. And God wants to do an impact in your body. He wants to do an impact in your soul. And He wants to change you in your spirit. He wants to do something in the tripart being you are, made in God's image. Now, another thing to understand is this, is that there's a difference between prayer and fasting in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, it was all to do with repentance. It was all about lamenting. It was a sad moment. You know, people put sackcloth and ash on their face, on their head, and they would go around mourning. It was a lamenting time. It was a sad time. It was a time of repentance and crying out because God had left their city, had left them to their own devices, and they would be crying out for God to come back. It was a sign of desperation, a sign of trying to get back what they had lost. But in the New Testament, I love this. In the New Testament, fasting and prayer wasn't about shame and repentance. It's about expectation. It's about receiving. It's about being in the place where God can deliver you the gifts and the power and the things you need to be used by God. Prayer and fasting was about simplification in order to get multiplication and amplification in your life. It was all what was on the other side of prayer and fasting that the New Testament talks about, because when you read at the end of Jesus' fasting and prayer, it says He returned with power. He returned and the miracles of His ministry began. There's something on the other side, church, that's going to propel us and prepare us for 2021 so that we are ready in 2021 to achieve the things that God has purposed for our lives. You know, for Jesus, the prayer and fasting time was the birth of his ministry, the release of power, the release of the supernatural. In Luke 4, it says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news of him spread throughout the surrounding region. Now, the other time that prayer and fasting is mentioned is when Paul is blinded on the road to Damascus when Jesus encounters him. And for 3 days, he's blind and he doesn't eat and he fasts. And it says this, so they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was without sight and did not eat or drink anything. So Ananias went to the house, and when he arrived, he placed his hands on Saul. Brother Saul, he said, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the result of the prayer and fasting of Saul was to receive vision and was to receive a fullness of the Holy Spirit. Here's my question. Through 2020, has your vision got clouded? Has your vision got murky? Does it seem like you're in a tailspin, or you're just spinning your wheels? Guess what? Prayer and fasting, as you simplify, brings you to a place where as you take that step, God can reveal to you a new vision. He can open your eyes again to what's ahead of you. It's amazing. And if you're watching at Mount Barker today, if you're watching in our South Campus or our City Campus or our Paradise Campus or our Clare Valley Campus or our Salisbury Campus, God is trying to give you vision. He's trying to pour his vision. He's trying to pour his Holy Spirit into your life. And I believe as we simplify, God's going to amplify the presence of God. He's going to open our eyes to see what he has for us. You know, many of us need our vision back. We need our vision back. You know, for the apostles who also fasted and prayed, and that's the third example in the New Testament, we read in Acts 13 these words. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manahan, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, notice, they were fasting, they were simplifying, they came together. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And after they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So this fasting and prayer, which is a transition moment, it's a moment where God's trying to elevate you to your next step. He's trying to take you further, take you higher, was as they were fasting and praying, worshiping and fasting, God gives them the vision that Paul and Barnabas are to be sent out, and thus begins the first of Paul's missionary journeys. This is the very beginning. You see, right at the beginning of stuff, God is trying to birth vision. He's trying to get your attention, but he can't get it in the way that he wants to unless you simplify so that you can see clearly, so you can hear clearly. You know, when I came to Atlanta, it was amazing because Atlanta, as you look up into the night sky, it just didn't seem to be many stars. You know, whereas you go outside of Adelaide and you see bright stars. Well, in Atlanta, because of the light pollution, there seemed to be no stars. And then, but as you drive out of Atlanta and you get half an hour out and then an hour out and then 2 hours out, suddenly what was a dull two or three stars becomes this whole sky full of bright stars. They were there all the time, but the pollution of the atmosphere stopped you from seeing them. I couldn't see them because of the pollution. Guess what? God's speaking all the time. God's trying to tell you the future all the time. But so often there's a pollution in our atmospheres, things in our homes, things in our lives that stop us from hearing clearly and seeing clearly. And that's why simplifying your day and your life will make a difference to that impact in Jesus' name. You know, there are three types of fasts in the Bible. I want to get to this whole point of how to fast, how to do it well. God's prescribed three fasts. Of course, he was attacking the religious mindset that would pretend to be pious in Isaiah 58 and those kinds of chapters. And he told them, listen, the fast I've chosen is to release the bonds of slavery and to help those that are being oppressed. And he commands a fast because they were fasting religiously but failing to do righteous things. So there's that fast. The second fast is the one that Moses and Elijah went on, which was for 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. Now, I don't suggest you do that at all unless all the three members of the Trinity stand at your bedside and tell you to do that, because that's a very supernatural fast. And if you don't drink unless God spoke it, you will die. So make sure you don't do that one. You know what? The third one is a water fast. Now, there's a lot of talk around the place about fasting from television and Daniel fast and all of those. God sees your heart. It's good. But really, God prescribed water fast. Now, you've got to remember, water wasn't the only drink that they had in those days. They could have drunk wine. Imagine that'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? A lot of joy happening in the fasting in the church that month if everybody was fasting wine. So God could have given alternatives, but he said, I want you to fast water. Water is what you drink during the fast. And I'm going to tell you why that is God's prescription. Because when God says something, there's a reason. And of course, if you want to do a Daniel fast, that's great, but you won't get the fullest impact. I've done every kind of fast you can do, and I've got to tell you, the water fast is the one that has brought the greatest change to my life. And as I've talked to so many followers of Jesus, you'll be shocked how few have ever done a water fast. So let me talk to you about why it's important, okay? Here's the thing. First of all, fasting, the word fasting means not to eat, which is why we have breakfast or breakfast after we haven't eaten all night. Think about this. Imagine if the doctor says here, come in tomorrow for blood. We want to take some blood and do some blood work and do some tests. But make sure you fast. Remember, you've got to fast at least 8 hours or 12 hours, whatever it is, before you go in to have your blood taken. And you go, well, you know what? I've decided I'm not going to do a full water fast. I'm going to do a Daniel fast. So I'm not going to eat all those other things, but I'm going to eat some things. Well, you're going to mess up your blood test. Why? Because it's set against a benchmark of water. So to fast means not to eat at all, right? Means not to eat. That's what fasting means. When you go have an operation, you don't eat before you go for the operation for health reasons. But scientists have also discovered that our brain produces brain cells. Now, I need a few. I need as many as I can get. And when you start fasting water only, at some point, your body kicks in and your chemistry changes. Your physiological makeup starts to shift and change. And you'll notice on the first day when you're water fasting, you get a headache. Why? Your body's expelling all of these toxins, all that sugar, all of that other fats and the stuff that you've been eating. Second day, you'll feel irritable. Again, your body's expelling all that kind of stuff. But when you get to day four, I promise you what happens when you wake up, and day five as well, depending on how much junk your body's got to get rid of, you wake up and you are clear-headed, you are focused, and there comes a sensitivity and an intensity about your concentration that's incredible. Part of it's because blood's not going to your digestive system, it's going to your brain. It's going to your ability to think. Suddenly, you'll find clarity coming in. So when God said, do a water fast, what's he trying to do? He's trying to cleanse your body, purify your body, to be healthy for your body. It's going to help your health. It's going to help your brain work better. It's going to help you think better. And God's designed your body to expel all the impurities so that you have a clean, fresh, healthy look at life. Then the second part, of course, God made us three parts, body, soul, and spirit, is our soul. And so what I say to you is this: when you're on the water fast, also put worship in your house and refuse to allow the news to be played or any negative stuff in your house. You can watch the news outside in your car. You can do it somewhere else on your phone. But don't have negativity in your house. Why? Because God wants to transform your soul. As your body's purifying, he's also getting your soul ready for revelation. you start to feel a peace come. You start to feel a power come. And I got to tell you, when you're praying and fasting, it's a turbocharged instrument attached to you that accelerates your ability to hear from God, see God, and be sensitive to God. Now, you'll reach day three and you feel like you hit a wall. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Well, no, you actually hit a wall. Then the next day, it's like everything changes. Oh, I just coached some staff through it here in Atlanta, and they'd never done a water fast, and they hit those miserable 3 days thinking, is this going to get worse? And they said, no, come on, persevere, drink some more water. Here's what's going to happen. Have worship in your house. And the next day, and the day after, and the day after that, they started to see. They said, it was just so profound. I felt the change. I could feel myself drawing closer to God. The stars that were hidden by the pollution and the atmosphere suddenly went away, and I could see and hear. And that's what happens. And I promise you, when you get to about day six, if you go to day six, you won't want to come off the fast because you'll feel so close to Jesus, you'll feel incredible. Now we're simplifying. He's our sole focus, and suddenly you'll find him talking to you. You'll find yourself being filled with vision like the apostles were, like Paul was, like you start being filled with the gifts of God like Jesus had happened to him. You know, fasting and prayer. Then on the third level, of course, your spirit starts to kick in and you start to get to the what I call the power zone of not praying but declaring. You see, there's billions of people praying and their prayers don't get answered because God's currency is not begging. God's currency is not even prayer. God's currency of transaction and miracles is faith. Everywhere in the New Testament, he said, go your way, your faith has healed you. Go your way, peace be to you, your faith has made you well. It was always the currency. God is not responding to my begging. Oh, God, help me, God, help me. Now, God in his kindness, his fatherly love will respond to us. But the currency of change and miracles is faith. And when you start to fast and your body purifies itself, your mind gets clear, your soul is being surrounded by worship, and then you are praying as well. You've got to pray, otherwise you're just losing weight. You've got to pray. And as you're praying and worshiping, suddenly you start to get boom, boom, boom. All the lights line up. You know, if you just pray, you're going to get 30%. If you just fast physically or you're only going to get a certain percentage. You're not going to get the whole lot. God wants you to get 100%, which is why he prescribed fasting and prayer with water and not with all these other things, because he wanted to change your body, change your soul, and change your spirit. Here's what happens when you fast and pray, is it robs you of physical energy. So you feel tired. So guess what happens? You can't fight things in the natural. It kicks in your spiritual fight reflex, and suddenly you start to war with your spirit and go after what's really happening, as opposed to getting angry, frustrated, and dealing with it on a flesh level, on a human level. You know, fasting is the early days of literally dying to yourself. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to die to yourself. Well, the day I stop eating is the first day towards dying. And so that's why it's so powerful, because we're letting go of the natural to grab hold of the spiritual. You know, fasting empties you of yourself. Remember, John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he can increase. You can't fill a container that's already full. So when you simplify, when you stop eating, when you stop having all that pollution in your house, when you start to empty yourself, as Jesus emptied himself, you start to be filled. I heard someone say this, if you don't empty yourself of yourself, you'll always be full of yourself. Let me say that again. If you don't empty yourself of yourself, you'll always be full of yourself. And I know that God wants to pour into you, but he can't pour into a container that's already full of other things. And so fasting empties the container. Prayer and fasting empty the container. Fasting allows you to simplify in order to amplify. Less of you, more of him. Empty yourself of yourself so you can be filled with Jesus. You know what happened to Jesus after the fast and the prayer? He returned in the power of the Spirit. What happened to Paul? He was sent on his first missionary journey that changed the world. What happened to Saul? He got vision. Whatever it is you need, simplify to amplify through fasting and praying is going to change your life. You know, fasting is a strategy given by God to alter the chemistry of your body, soul, and spirit. It aligns you with God's purpose. It brings your soul and your body into alignment with God's desires and will for you, and allows you to receive and to move into another realm of power. I remember when I went on the seven days water fasting that I did in Adelaide. That's when God spoke to me about 200 campuses. That's when God spoke to me about the vision of the future. As we go through Vision Month, you're going to hear that all started through 7 weeks of water fasting. 1 week of water fasting, then 1 week of eating, then 1 week of water fasting. And as I did, on the other side of each of those weeks, God would reveal something new. He would do a new miracle. I'd see things happen that were just incredible because it's what's on the other side. In the Old Testament, it was all about your shame, all about your tears, all about you humbling yourself and you repenting because you were so bad and so rotten. But in the New Testament, fasting and prayer, even Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you fast and pray, listen, don't let everyone see it. In other words, anoint your face with oil. That means to put on your makeup, put on your best face, go out there and party, because God says that fasting and prayer in the New Testament is all about receiving. It's a rejoicing moment. It's a simplification to get multiplication and amplification in your marriage, your life, your work, your career, every part of your life. I want to tell you, for Jesus, it was the birth of his ministry. For you, it's going to be the birth of something new. There's something on the other side. The reason we're here on the other side planting campuses, the reason we've got 11 campuses with a 12th one to be planted shortly, is because of that season of fasting. It births something new. Simplify in order to clarify. That's God's desire for you. Let me just finish with these thoughts. You know, in 2007, or around about that time, I developed an eye condition called presbyopia, and it meant I started to lose my ability to focus. I couldn't read, and suddenly reading became difficult. I could see things generally, but I couldn't see things specifically. In other words, I could see people, but I couldn't read detail. The big things were good, but detail was missing, and it affected my ability to read, so I stopped reading after a couple of years. It affected my ability to fix things. You think about how hard it is to put stuff in the back of your television on normal times when you can see half the light and you're trying to fiddle on the back. It took me hours just to get things in, HDMI cables into the slot, because I couldn't see simple things like that. Couldn't go into the pantry and read the ingredients on anything. It affected my life. And yet I put up with it. I had an answer. I had a solution, but I put up with it for 6 years because of my ignorance. Even though I had heard about LASIK surgery, even though I heard that somehow they could fix it, I also heard that, you know, your eyes can be really damaged forever. I'd watched Today Tonight or whatever it was that I'd watched back in the day that told us how dangerous, and showed some people, as they always do, show the bad people. In other words, the people that have, the one in a zillion people that have had a bad experience. And so for 6 years, I'm like, I'm not sure I want to do that. And so I put up with my confusion. I put up with my lack of focus. I put up with everything being blurry, with things not being clear. It affected court cases that I had to go and speak at. It was hilarious. I'll tell you that story one day. And then finally I decided to go have the operation. And I tell you, I've had God do miracles in my life, but I've never seen something so radical in my life as walking in, hardly being able to read anything, and walking out after 15 minutes. That's all the operation took, 15 minutes. And within 24 hours, I could see like I was 20 years of age. It was incredible. I remember thinking to myself, why didn't I do this before? Because ignorance had kept me from the truth. You know, the truth is this. When you fast and pray like Jesus did, like Paul did, like Jesus told us to, will you take God's prescription for fasting and praying and simplify your world, your life, and your day, you'll start to see clearly, the confusion will go, you'll start to feel this amplification. This power starts to rise within you. It's God's secret weapon for you to enter 2021 full of power, authority, vigor, with a sense of great energy, focus, and power. And I promise you, on the other side of your obedience is something incredible. Today we're going to pray. And as I hand over to the campus pastors, I want you to be thinking, when can I fast? Because right now is the moment to write it in your calendar, write it in your diary. I'm going to fast on the second week or the third week or the fourth week or the fifth week of November. I'm going to fast. I'm going to go to God with my 2021. Put it before Him. Simplify in order to amplify. That's God's purpose. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now as we hear your word that you would stir something within us that would give us motivation. Lord, when we're led by the Spirit to fast, grace comes. That's the beautiful thing. Grace comes. And it doesn't even feel onerous or difficult because your grace carries us. Lord, as we come into this season where you are leading us to fast and pray, I pray you'd give great grace, give great motivation, great hunger for every person in our church so that we might hit 2021 running, not limping, not crawling, but running into our destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I want to tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.